Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today, we're going to talk about the Black Doodler murders, a serial killer back in the 70s who... Is that funny? Yeah, he didn't have the scariest name of all time, but he was a serial killer in San Francisco. He terrorized the gay community there back in the 1970s, and he was called the Doodler, Brandy, because he left sketches of his victims, which is creepy as fuck.
Doodler, I mean, sketcher would have been something that could have worked, but doodles what I do during a bowel movement, or, you know, whatever.
What?
During a podcast.
During a podcast. I mean, come on.
Well, in all,
I thought I read this as Black Diddler. I thought he was a
why? There's no I.
I thought maybe he was a priest or something. I don't know. Maybe I thought the man I don't know.
Well, before we get too far into the story, remind everyone.
Illiterate bastard.
Let me remind everyone that that we do, as Brandy just did, we sometimes use adult language. And let's face it, it's Brandy that uses adult language.
It is Brandy. God damn it, Brandy, if it weren't for you, we'd have a wholesome, family-friendly show. But you got to talk like a motherfucking Santa all the time.
She fucks it up.
Yeah, fuck everything up for everybody.
I know. It's awful.
So if...
God bless.
If adult language offends you...
Then you just take your Quaker ass right on out of here.
Quaker ass. I don't know that we have a lot of Quaker listeners, but...
Not anymore.
Welcome
we don't.
We welcome
just
the...
left.
We also welcome the Amish, Brandy.
Yes, yeah, we do.
We love the Amish.
Mennonites, all of them.
Now, see, here's the thing, Tim. This is what people don't get. The Amish can't use electricity, but you know the Amish are running a scam. You know that, right? I mean, way somebody baked that pie without electricity. And then...
Over a fire.
So you think it's all front.
The Amish are the same as carnies, Tim. And you go to one of those little Amish towns, because I did this with Logan, and you sneak in there after 10 o'clock. They got their PS4s. They're watching cable, the satellite dishes. It's like everything pops up when it gets dark.
I feel like that's a bullshit
story. I knew a woman who gave blowjobs to carnies to ride a Tilt-A-Whirl.
Did she gag after or gag before, Timmy?
Not during, while she was writing the Tilt-A-Whirl. Like,
that's dangerous.
Gross.
Good
God. Scrambler. Let me introduce.
I don't think I could get a Woody on the Tilt-A-Whirl. God.
She did give a guy, one of them, a Woody, blowjob on the Roundup.
Oh.
You know, where you...
Man, that would...
That's dangerous.
Yeah, that'd end up... You could end up with a penis in the back of your head there.
Well, the thing is, you don't want to be watching that from the ground because you could get, you know,
dizzy.
You could get, you could get a facial.
That's true. I was on the ride.
Gravity's a bitch, Brandy.
It's so early for this. So early.
You missed us. You missed it. You know you have. But anyway, don't use adult. If you're offended by adult language from Brandy, yeah, don't. We were talking, Colonel, before we went on the air about Brandy's cult. I was saying, they're lovely people.
Oh, they're a cult. But
they are amazing.
Bunch of man.
They're amazing.
Bunch of man-hating lesbians is what they are.
No, they're not. And that's ridiculous. And you need to.
Man-hating lesbians is what.
You know, it's.
You need how to stop.
There's toxic.
That's not true.
Toxic lesbianism, isn't it? Lesbianism, Timmy.
Well, there's a few who might be man-hating.
You should not talk about my buddy Terry Stafford that way.
Terry is.
I'm sure Terry likes watching lesbians, like we all do.
See, he encourages lesbianism.
But Brandy, you played a lot of softball in your day, and naturally those stories are going to circulate.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally. Let me introduce a lady who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent. She's loved by Team Brandy. Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
Well, I'm not good, Timmy.
Uh-oh.
You're not good. What's wrong? What's wrong, Brandy?
Well, so as you both know, my youngest child, Noah, is 8.
Noah.
Do you have any children we don't know about?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, okay.
Duh. So, he's 8, he's amazing. And the night before last, he woke up and saying he couldn't breathe. And so we're, giving him his inhaler, doing all this stuff. Turns out the child has croup. Now, for those of you that have children, you know that croup usually occurs in infants and, the early toddlerhood. But evidently it's making a comeback in older kids. So Noah has
we're glad to hear
that's
croup.
Not that kind of comeback you root for.
Glad to hear
no, it is not. Yeah, yeah. So he has croup. So we've been kind of dealing with that most
that
of the weekend.
I used to have croup when I was a kid, when I was little, all the time.
Yeah, well, a lot of people, a lot of kids have it, and it's, it's just a matter of, you take them outside or you put them in a steamy room or, whatever. But, 8 is a little old for croup, but as I was informed.
They used to put me in a ice tent.
Tent. I had the tent.
Yeah,
I had the tent. But
I get the tent now. It's sometimes early in the morning.
Well done.
Yeah, I get an occasional tent in the morning, Timmy.
Ugh.
But that's normal. That you should be ashamed of, Colonel.
No. Makes you feel good about yourself, Timmy.
Yeah.
But, other than that, work's a zoo. Not that either one of you would know because,
Well, did you have a good time at DweebCon?
DweebCon was amazing. DweebCon was wonderful.
We have amazing listeners. I have to say that they are so fun.
They're so fun, and you guys know Jacob, my other kid, my other son, came, and he had a great time. Everybody was so kind to him and really welcome.
Yeah, I loved that interview. I'm sorry the interview didn't get. The Colonel interviewed some of the folks attending DweebCon, and we didn't get that recorded, but. Jake was interviewed, and he is so, Brandy, he's so well-spoken, so mature.
Well.
I was really impressed by that.
It's been a long time coming, Timmy, as you know.
And he didn't cuss, Colonel. Was you shocked that he didn't cuss?
He didn't cuss at all.
Like, he's around his mother all the time.
Well, I was afraid that every question would him just look at me saying, go fuck yourself. Or, why don't you go put something in a cockroach?
He was so mature. He was so the opposite of you, Brandy.
No.
How did that happen?
No, he's.
You could clearly see Noah's influence on him, Timmy.
I think Noah is a big influence on me.
But Jacob's growing into his own, but everybody was very kind. We got to meet a lot of new people came to DweebCon this year that didn't come last year. So that was fun. That was great.
Yeah, it was good to see Jamie and Tommy. Lane and I don't know, I'm going to leave someone out.
Molly and Nick, and everybody, and then the people that come every year, Nick Johnson and Terry, and it was, you know, it was great, Karen. So it was nice. It was nice to see everybody. Everybody was chill, and
Molly Erickson was not a wholly unattractive woman.
No, she's pretty.
She's quite lovely.
She's beautiful. Yes. But we got to find a new place to have it next year because, or to stay because, you know, they're tearing down that hotel. So
I know.
We'll have to
go
across the street to the Hilton or the Westin or something.
Maybe Paris. Maybe Paris will be there.
Oh, maybe.
Paris Hilton.
Maybe with her, with her size 10 feet.
Who might be there?
I know. I learned that this
Paris
week.
Hilton.
Oh. She's got size 10 feet.
Yeah.
Well, you know she's packing a big donger on her. Is she 40 yet?
Oh, for God's sake, no.
She's got to be close to 40.
She's not. I don't even know. I'm not even sure she's turned 30.
Write that down, Brandy.
I will not.
Let me introduce a man who is known as the most dangerous man in podcasting today, Brandy.
By no one.
A man who has been described as an oasis in the desert of despair. We go through these troubling times.
Nope. Nope, nope, nope. Oh.
A man who has his own following, Brandy. They're called Team Colonel.
He's got a dog in a sweater.
And the Colonel's bad girls, Timmy. Don't forget about the Colonel's bad girls.
CBGs. Cannot forget the CBGs. And I... He does have, as you mentioned, Brandy, a dog in a sweater, the debonair-looking Beau. You would never catch Rudy wearing a sweater. That's all.
Rudy's
got
a Broncos jersey now. He doesn't mind putting that on.
Well, only in football season. The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm not good, Timmy.
What's wrong, Colonel?
Shocking.
Well, Timmy, we have had such a breakdown in society that I, the Colonel, was victimized by society, Timmy.
Oh, God.
You were victimized by society. Well, what happened, Colonel? Tell us what happened.
Timmy, someone attempted to carjack me.
I know. I saw that on the Facebook. What happened, Colonel? Tell our listeners that so they can be on guard for the for crime in their area.
Well, I got out of my car and I was going to get gas. I was headed to.
Set the scene for us, Colonel. Set the scene.
The scene is set. He's at a gas station.
I pull into a gas station.
Was it during the night?
4 o'clock in the afternoon, beautiful day.
How was the weather?
Weather was beautiful. Mrs. Colonel with me in the car. And
yes,
I pull over to get gas, and I get out of my car, Timmy, and in just a flash, this big toothless junkie jumped into my car, threatened me with a firearm, and said if I...
Now, what did he say exactly?
He said, stick them up.
I have a gun. Give me your keys.
Keith. Give me your keys.
Now, did he have a gun, Colonel?
He did not, in fact, have a gun. And this is just a note to would-be carjackers. If you're kind of pathetic looking and you jump in somebody's car, if you say you have a gun, you probably should have a gun. And I'm not encouraging people to have guns, but... When you run across this...
Or at least, Colonel, put your finger in your pocket.
Exactly.
He didn't
make a good attempt, Timmy.
Tricks everyone.
And he had those skinny jogger pants on, and he'd run up to my car, and I thought, well, if you had a gun, it would have fallen out. But...
That's a good point.
So, I was a little impatient, and Mrs. Colonel thought that it was just me getting into the car, so she paid no heed to him. And I said, look here, boy, get out of my damn car. And he said, again, I have a gun. And I, you know, want your keys.
Yeah, at that point, you're going to have to show it, Brandy.
Yeah, you said it
twice.
I
would think so.
It was getting to triple dog dad territory, Timmy.
Yeah, right.
And
it's like Beetlejuice.
So I looked at him again and I said, son, get your ass out of my car. And I thought, well, you know, I'm going to have to pull him out of my car and, you know, just rough him up just a little. I don't, you know, not a lot but before I said to Renee, because I have in my car, it's just a push button ignition, Timmy. You know, you just push a button.
Is Renee hitting him?
Well, Timmy, I told Renee, exit the vehicle, because once she exits the vehicle, he can't start it. We're just standing there having a standoff. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the old days, they would say a Mexican standoff, but I don't think that's appropriate to say anymore.
For fuck's sake.
But you get the picture, right?
I get the picture. So you get the picture, Brandon.
So yes, I said,
racially tinged picture. I got it.
Renee, get out of the car. Well, I'm not sure what Renee heard. But the woman has a lot of pent-up anger in her, Timmy.
Surprising.
Because she started pushing on him, yelling at him to get out of the car, and then started wailing on the side of his head, Timmy. And I finally...
She's probably thinking of you during that.
I think it was
taking out some
I think
of her.
There was flashes of me and Logan.
All you had to do, actually, is start talking in your colonel accent. She probably would have beat him to death.
She would have shut the door. She would have just said, when I told her to get
drive.
Out, she said, no, no, Colonel.
Yeah.
You shut the door
just
and
told
lock
him to
it
drive.
And leave me in here with him. So I started kind of chuckling to myself a little bit, thinking, where is this coming from? But
everybody in the free world knows where it's coming from.
Well,
I'm not sure why it's just a mystery to you.
So Renee is beating this guy. He's half in, half out of your car, I guess, at
well,
this point.
Well, I reached to grab him to get him out, but he's a very...
To save his life.
Yeah, to save his life. He's a large kid. He's only 22. They listed the police report at 6'2", 220. And I thought it took very little resistance to get him out of my car, because he was, in fact, as I started to grab and pull... He was actually leaping from my car to escape her. And I stood there and I thought, well, that's victory. I won that one. And then someone, nosy ass, you know, bystanders, don't mind my own damn business, said, catch him. And I thought, son of a.
So he started to run.
He started to run. And I thought, well, no, you catch him. I don't want to run. I had to run a whole city block, Timmy. A whole city block.
Did you
I did
catch
apprehend
him,
Timmy.
Wait a minute. He tripped on concrete, didn't he?
I did apprehend him, Timmy.
Yes, he did.
After he fell.
After he fell. After Jesus did the work for you.
And
opiate withdrawal.
I think what happened to me is he looked back, saw me, and, you know, I'm in the middle of Cheviot, Timmy, which is a, let's call it a blue-collar working class area, Timmy. And once they stood.
Sure. So, i.e. white trash, Brandon.
Very much so.
And I already know.
Once the guys in the bar saw that there was a little bit of a skirmish out there, they came running out, too. So it looked like Homeward Bound, where you had a pack of dogs chasing a cat. And I thought...
Yeah, so the guys in the bar are thinking they get to whip someone's ass and won't get arrested
possibly
for it, basically.
Or possibly shoot someone. That was the only time I was afraid, Timmy, because I thought, one of these sumbitches has probably got a gun, and they're going to let go with a shot, and it's going to hit me in the kidney, because I was between them and him, Timmy.
In the kidney.
Right in the kidney.
In the kidney.
Well, yeah, because they're not necessarily great shots.
So you're sitting on this guy at this point, Colonel? Or you're sitting on
him? No, I'm still chasing him.
And then karma stepped in.
And then he turned around and saw the fierce look of determination and sweat on my face.
Sweat.
And it made his knees and legs shaky, and they came out from under him, Timmy, and he just crashed to the ground.
Let me ask you something. The look of determination, is that also the look of a breathless old man?
It was the look of an impending heart attack, I believe, Devil, yes.
Exactly. And then
how come I get the sense this is something out of The Simpsons? I can see Homer like it was, running like
it
that.
Was yeah. The way I tell the story, Timmy, was that I got on him and I...
It doesn't capture the terror that you were feeling at the time, or that he was.
Well, the terror that he was going to pass out.
The terror I had having to run a full city block. But he, the way I tell the story, is that I just caught up to him and I put my foot on the back of his leg and said, "Look here, motherfucker, don't get up. Don't even try to move. I'm aggravated with you." But the reality is, I got there and I said,
and he fell on top of him.
Yes.
I said,
"Look here, motherfucker. Don't move." So
Chuck passed out on top of him and he couldn't
move. You're hoping that he knows CPR. That's what you're asking.
That's what I'm asking. Yeah. Can we just take I call time. That's what I call. I told him. I call time.
I'll let you go just to let me die. Perform CPR on me, please. So did the Cincinnati Finest arrive?
They did. They arrested him. They took him to the jail, at which point he told them he had ingested a fair amount of narcotics, opioids. Mm-hmm. So they took him to the hospital.
Did he get out the Narcan?
Well, no, he didn't overdose. So they just took him to the hospital.
Okay. Wait a minute. Was it, like, when you say ingested, was it to be reconstituted?
I don't know exactly how he did that.
Okay.
Because he did that, they could not take him at the jail, so they took him to the hospital where he promptly escaped, Timmy.
Shut up.
So Colonel, he escaped, so you did all that running for nothing is basically what you're
saying.
That's
exactly what I'm saying, Timmy.
He escaped.
I'm sorry, Colonel.
He escaped.
So he is on the loose. Out there, menacing society once again.
He is. He's. I'm tracking him actively now. Me and Rudy, we're trying to show Bo how to be a tracking dog.
Well, Bo seems more like Sherlock Holmes to me with his sweater. He just needs a little pipe.
Bo got.
And, You know, putting Bo in a sweater means he's not going to get laid by any of the other little dogs. In the
well, neighborhood. he just had his balls cut off Tuesday, so.
Oh, so. Yeah, so.
He can wear fedoras. He can wear pretty much anything. He can wear those Olivia Newton-John high pull-up stockings, you know, those leg warmers if you want, because it don't matter anymore.
Yes, he's not getting laid. He can't get laid even if he, so.
No, so.
Well, Colonel, I'm sorry you had such a terrifying experience.
Well, it was,
and I'm sure he'll think twice before he jumps in a car with Renee.
Well, he will. You know what? I think he will look and see: is there just a woman that looks like she's just ill tempered? And Renee was on Facebook. I think the thing was that we were supposed to go to the grocery store.
Oh, you should have did a Facebook Live of it. That would
have been fantastic.
Oh my God, that would have been amazing.
Yeah, I just don't know what got into the woman. I said, "Renee, just get out of the car." And she said, you get out of my car," and started pushing him with one hand and flailing on him with the other, Timmy. And he was ducking and bobbing and weaving and jumping out of the car.
Well, I'm sure he'll think twice before he does that again.
Yeah, she was in one of those hangry moods, Timmy. You know, that women get into when they're...
Yeah, so you hadn't had dinner.
Yeah,
yet,
and he was standing in the way of her and food, which is not, you know, it's like
not a good place
like
to be.
A wolf in a pork chop. It's not where you want to be, right in the middle.
It's like between brandy and a line of Coke. You just
exactly.
don't want to be there.
Exactly.
You know what? That reminds me. So I went to Friday. We went to the new Kroger downtown.
Uh huh.
Yes. Yeah, evidently.
Kroger is a grocery store.
Yeah, grocery store. And we went there to go get some Starbucks before I had to go to the sad building. And Jacob and Jessica were with me, and they went into the bathroom. Now, this is in downtown Cincinnati. But they went to the bathroom, and they came back out. Evidently, right before they went in, there was some sketchy guy that came out of there. And when they went in, there was a line of Coke on on the counter, all cut up in a line, the whole bit.
Well, that was nice.
I'm like, Jesus Christ. I know, right? I'm like, well, what'd you do? Nothing. I don't want to mess with that. I'm like, okay.
Snort it?
it could have been whatever, but yeah.
You didn't hear what I said. There was a lot of
right. But yeah, that's a good time. But I didn't run in there and snort it. I left it for those less fortunate than me.
Well, that's very admirable of you, Brandy.
Yeah, very out of
character. It's my way of giving back.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about crime in San Francisco, shall we?
About the
black
doodler.
Black doodler, Brandy.
The doodler.
In all, the doodler is believed responsible for at least 5 murders and possibly as many as 14 murders, Brandy.
Yes.
In addition, police believe the doodler is responsible for at least 3 assaults where the victims survived. The attacks took place from January 1974, I was 13 years old.
I was not born.
Until September 1975, that was the year the Reds won the World Series, Brandy. I know you are very aware of that. Okay. The killer became known as the Black Doodler because he was African American.
You got to throw that label on there. You couldn't have just called him the Doodler.
Well, I didn't.
Conviction of the times to me. If he would have been an Asian, would they have called him the Chinese doodler? You know, the Indian doodler.
I don't know, but this was the 70s, so we were not as advanced,
not as woke
socially.
Did he wear roller skates, Timmy?
Not that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
And shorts and roller skates.
Amazing.
But because he was African-American, he was called the Black Doodler, and he would draw sketches of his victims and leave them at the crime scene. And as I said, Brandy, that's creepy as fuck.
Yeah, that is. Were they, well, I guess we'll find out, but were they pictures of them while they were alive or dead?
As far as I could see in the research, they were alive, and that's kind of how he met people. He would draw, like caricatures of him.
Oh, caricatures, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and then he would leave these at the crime scene. Now, police have not released these pictures because it's an active, open case.
Sure.
So I haven't seen any of the photos, but apparently he would draw these of them, and that's how he kind of met them, and picked them up or whatever. After an extensive investigation, police were unable to make any arrests in the case. Although there were at least one prime suspect, police could not make any arrests because the victims refused to testify. Remember, this was the early 70s, and if they testified, they would have to not only testify in court, but they would be coming out basically as gay, so they were very reluctant to do so. As I said, it's believed the doodler is responsible for at least 14 murders. A consistent method used in the killings where he would stab the victims repeatedly in the front and the back of their bodies, sometimes even removing some of their vital organs. Oh.
Gross.
He was the Black Doodler. Police is what he was.
Yeah. Police theorize that the victims all had died after meeting him near where they were. Their bodies were recovered, and they believe as early on they thought at least it may be 3 different perpetrators, but they're pretty confident now it was one. And if you remember, like last year when the Golden State killer was apprehended, and police this has always been an open case, so they didn't reopen the case, but they did release some information in the media and are still hopeful that the Black Doodler will be brought to justice. So let me give you a little background. San Francisco in the 1970s was a global hub of the counterculture, Brandy, as you know.
Sure.
You hang out there?
I do not.
And with all your hippie friends?
Yeah.
It's known worldwide for its hippies and radicals. The city was heavily affected by drugs, prostitution, and crime. That's a trifecta there, Colonel.
I mean, you can't really... that's what a realtor wants to hear about your house. It's not location, location. It's drugs, prostitution, and crime. Am I close to it?
Yeah.
Because if so, I'll take it.
Outcast and the socially marginalized were attracted by a greater tolerance and acceptance of diverse cultures in the city. Our friend Anna Gerline, of course, from San Francisco.
I would not call her an outcast, though.
No. I'm just saying that she's from San Francisco. She lives in that area. San Francisco was the cradle of the pornography industry, Brandy, as you know, in the early 1970s. And led to a dramatic growth of strip clubs, adult theaters, peep shows, and sex shops downtown. Yeah, this kind of makes me want to go to San Francisco, Colonel.
Well, you're kind of a connoisseur
of
those things.
I'm pro peep show, Timmy.
Me too. Nah, they cleaned it up. That's a shame. As well as the creation of the first feminist advocacy groups for sex workers. Yeah, that's when it all went to hell.
Sex workers unionized, Timmy.
Yeah, that makes prices.
It drove
go
the
up,
rates
Colonel.
Through the roof.
I'm not in
to
favor
me.
Of it. Oh, like crazy. But San Francisco in this period was also known for its diversity, its art, its architecture, and of course, its music. The Jefferson Airplane is from. They started there in San Francisco.
Grateful Dead.
The Grateful Dead. Journey.
Yeah.
Of course. Janis Joplin lived in San Francisco. A lot of famous people lived in San Francisco, and it became a place where people were unconditionally accepted and loved. Brandy, your thoughts on that?
Sounds wonderful.
In the early 1970s, San Francisco was also growing, one of the world's biggest centers for the LGBT community and LGBT rights. Many gay men and women flocked to San Francisco to start new lives in cities where they were not only accepted but also welcomed. Although the majority of this community were no more sexually promiscuous than their heterosexual counterparts, this was an era of sexual revolution, which was also prior to the AIDS outbreak, which would occur a decade later. In short, as in any healthy community, people were sexually active. This sadly became a problem in January 1974 when many young men started showing up dead and leaving police to wonder who was doing the killing.
How do you show up dead? How does that happen? How do you show up to a party dead?
You show up in the park. You show
on
up
the sidewalk?
Under some shrubs. On the
sidewalk.
You show up on the beach.
I showed up on a truck.
You show up dead.
You just show up dead.
Well, in early 1974, while the attention of San Francisco and the nation was focused on the Patty Hearst kidnapping.
Now, you remember the Patty Hearst kidnapping, Brandy? You must have been about
with the SLA, Timmy. She was not messing around.
I was SLA. She was hot.
She was hot.
Wasn't it the PLA?
I don't know, but it gives me a little bit of a boner just
SLA.
Thinking about it.
I thought it was Palestine.
Sibonese Liberation
Oh, it
Army.
Wasn't Palestine.
No, it was one of those little tiny groups that
SLA.
She was hooked up with.
Yeah, it was like, yeah. We have to do a podcast.
It explains it. Thinking about Patty Hearst just made Team Brandy come clear in my head. Two words, Timmy.
Yes.
Stockholm Syndrome.
Whatever.
Perhaps that's the case, because that would explain their odd behavior.
And their devotion to a devilish tyrant.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's like being attracted to fire. Really.
It is.
I mean, you know, it's not good for you, but
what the fuck?
Got to touch that stove anyway.
Well, all right. So, Gerald Earl Kavanaugh, a Canadian American immigrant, was believed to be the doodler's first victim.
Why do I feel like if not Lanny, your next husband is going to be Gerald or Earl? He's going to be a Earl's in there somewhere.
Yeah, and not at the beginning of his name. He's not going to be Earl.
He's going to be like Bobby
Earl Sandwich. He's going to be
Bobby Earl,
Leroy Earl,
or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Well, poor little Jerry. Was 49 at the time of his slaying, which occurred, of course, by stabbing. Kavanaugh's fully clothed body was located on January 24th, 1974, laying face up on Ocean Beach in San Francisco in the early hours of the morning. It is believed that Kavanaugh had died several hours before his body was found. He was determined to have been conscious at the time he was killed, and had attempted to resist his killer because he had self-defense wounds. He was stabbed a total of 12 times.
That's horrific. But most people would be conscious at the time they were killed, wouldn't they?
No.
No.
I mean, you're saying you can knock him out and then kill him?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you could just wait till they're so liquored up they passed out.
Well, there's that.
Come to dweeb kind of.
That's usually how... That's how Brandy paid for her car, her latest car.
Wow. Wow.
The old Bill Cosby approach.
You know, if that was the case, I wouldn't be driving a Kia. Let's see.
Have you ever been with a man, been intimate with a man, Brandy, and then he, fall asleep on you?
No.
You know, he's tired or whatever and just dozed off.
No.
I think women underestimate the amount of energy we put forth in such tasks, Timmy.
Well, that's the point I'm getting at, Brandy, is that you don't appreciate the effort it takes for men to perform sexually.
No.
Women just have to lay there, basically, right. Colonel.
They think all this just
happens.
That's
not true,
Timmy.
That's not true. We put a lot of energy into faking it so we can go back to sleep or get on with whatever we were doing.
You put a lot of energy into faking sleep sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. So, poor little Kavanaugh was found fully dressed. He was wearing a Timex watch, which in the 70s was a big deal. And he had $21 in his
wallet. I wonder if it was a regular watch or like one of those digital. Remember when they had the digital watches? That was like, oh, you don't because you're too young.
Timex always had digital watches.
Yeah.
Timex had, their thing.
Yeah.
Texas Instrument came out with the first digital watch, and Casio soon followed. But I wonder, Timmy.
Casio. That's Casio. A fucking baller. If you got a Casio, you're a fucking baller.
Didn't Texas Instrument have the. Have the calculator watch?
Calculator watch. What I want to know was it still ticking when they got him to me?
Well, yeah, it takes a licking, Colonel.
Well, it was. So, a chalk sketch of Kavanaugh was left at the crime scene. Initially, he remained unidentified.
Colonel, I got a question. How's your book going, Colonel?
The book is on hold, Timmy. Now it's turned into a personal battle between me and the estate of some fake-ass colonel down in Kentucky who owns a bunch of restaurants because I had the perfect recipe, as I said, the colonel's secret recipe for love-making, devil. What do you think about that?
Burf.
That sounds like a catchy title there to me, Brandy.
Colonel's secret recipe to making love.
Stop.
Little bit of parsley, little bit of penis, little bit of paprika.
Parsley?
Yeah, a little bit of, you know.
No. All right, so let's go. Initially, the poor guy remained unidentified, being temporarily known as John Doe by the medical examiner, as one is known by when they are unidentified.
Why don't they give him better names than John Doe or John Q. Public? I mean, you could come up with something, a little bit more
catchier. And if it's a man, why can't it be John Buck?
Yeah, yeah, Brandy, why?
I don't know. When Kavanaugh was identified, police learned that he was a single man who'd recently moved to the Bay Area where he found work on the docks. Police were able to establish very few details.
Johnny used to work on the docks, Colonel.
Well, I've spent some time, Timmy, sitting on the dock of a bay, collecting a paycheck and watching time
Any
roll
bay.
Away. Yeah, much like I do at work.
So, Colonel, I bet your loneliness just would not leave you alone.
No,
there.
No. Sometimes I feel so lonely.
It's an amazing story.
I could die.
He's not getting the song, but that's okay. Police were able to establish.
Now, Brandy, people like the colonel singing. You got to admit he sings pretty good.
I will never admit that because it's not true. Police were able to establish very few details about his personal life or his next of kin. The next victim was discovered 5 months later. His name was Joseph Stevens, best known by his nickname Jay. Was discovered by a woman walking along Spreckles Lake, located in San Francisco, on June 25th, 1974. Joseph was 27 and originally from Texas. Oh. He had been working at Finocchio's.
So you can't really say he didn't have it coming.
He had been working at Finocchio's, a gay bar that had been in the city since 1930.
Well, that name's pretty funny. Yeah.
I love the name.
You know, Stephanie Quick also lives in San Francisco.
She does,
good friend.
Yeah.
Jay was employed as a part-time bartender, female impersonator, and a comedian. He was a drag queen.
So you were saying he was Colonel, I think she's saying he was working part-time at a
Five and Dime?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Working part-time as a cocktail.
He
at
was
a cocktail
working
bar.
Part-time as a cocktail bar at a cocktail bar when I met him.
You people are fucking it up. Just stop.
Well, what is it, Brandy? I won't be able to rest unless I know. I knew
you were working as a waitress in a cocktail bar.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So this guy
was working as a waitress in a cocktail bar. That much is true. But even then,
I was working as a waitress without you.
Don't.
And see, that's the thing, Colonel. Here's this poor woman about that song. That woman uses that guy.
Oh,
Colonel,
she does.
In that song.
She does. She a hoe.
And then she's like, oh, I would make it with or without you. Well, you did now.
You made it with him and then you ditched him.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that, Brandy?
You're an idiot.
Defend that, Brandy.
No.
She can't. She can't, Colonel.
I don't want to because the whole thing is ridiculous.
Well, so I mean, if she could have made it without him, why'd she drag him into the whole mess?
Exactly. Why don't she just go ahead and
make
that
it on
her
own?
No, she was serving drinks, teasing men.
Oh,
Colonel.
Yeah, you know
she's
probably was
shaking. You know, when she delivers their drinks, she's all giggy. Mm-hmm. You know, joking,
tight little outfit,
flirty,
shaking the little hips.
Yeah,
like yeah.
She couldn't have made it without him.
She'd
That's
still
bullshit.
Be at that goddamn cocktail bar.
Yeah. Like she wouldn't be getting many tips
Norma
right now because she'd be about 60.
Drinking, taking out.
Yeah, it's got the makeup all smeared
Bud
on.
Bud Light to people, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, right, Brandy?
Are you done with your drivel?
Well, we're just saying, Brandy, that she would not have made it without him, despite what she's saying.
Uh-huh.
And
so police believe that
Colonel
Jay, can we please talk about this poor man?
Well, song leads you into Come On Eileen.
It doesn't.
It does. If you're on Spotify, then the very next song is Come On Eileen.
And does Eileen have any knowledge that this is about to occur? That's what I could never figure out from the song. Come on, Eileen. Is he telling his friend? Well, I mean, I don't know what's going on there.
Okay.
Is she being like, you know, petulant and not doing what he wants
like
her to do?
Yeah, like he's trying to talk.
Or,
you know, like.
You know what? No, you know what you should do? Is think about that quietly, introspectively.
Well, no, she just, is it?
And let me talk. No, quietly. In your head.
I like songwriters who clarify things and who write with a sense of clarity and conciseness. you know, I'm used to Timmy.
Let me be clear and concise. I'm going to talk about this motherfucker here, and you all need to stop yapping.
Well, there's just one thing.
That's clear. Is that clear and concise enough?
When you start winning an argument, Colonel, that's when she starts cussing.
It is. See, here's the thing.
Sweet baby Ray.
I'm used to Timmy's.
Let me talk about this poor drag queen.
I'm used to Timmy's really clear prose. Well, I know exactly what's going on, but that song "Come on, Eileen" is ambiguous. I don't know if she just like
it is. You have to admit that, Brandon. Maybe you have to concede that.
Maybe
I have not thought about that song that in depth.
Maybe he's trying to just get her to go. You know, like they're in a hurry, and he's like, "Come on, Eileen," and then or
maybe. Yeah. If you play it
quit
backwards.
Fucking talking on the phone, Eileen. Let's
maybe
go.
Maybe if you play it backwards, it says, Colonel, shut the fuck up so Brandy can read the goddamn script. Maybe it says that.
Maybe she had a glazed donut.
I don't think it says that.
You know, and people are walking by trying to figure it out, and it's like, is that, come on, Eileen? You know what I mean?
They're not.
They just need to be more clear.
Yeah, that could be it. Yeah. I agree, Colonel.
Proceed, Brandy. Proceed.
Yeah, come on, Brandy. We're like a fucking hour into this podcast already.
Police believe that Jay had died shortly before his body was found.
Jay, the drag queen guy.
Yes.
Right?
You would know that if I was allowed to read a fucking paragraph in succession. That would be fucking spectacular.
Well, you know, sometimes you're not very clear,
you're not.
Brandy. But
okay.
Go ahead,
not, Timmy couldn't make
Jay
it
died.
Any easier for you. I mean,
the Colonel does a great job editing these episodes, but, you know, he can only do so much.
Yeah, I'm not goddamn Houdini now.
So Jay had been witnessed at the Cabaret Club. It was a gay bar the previous evening. Officers suspected that he was alive at the time he'd been at Spreckles Lake, possibly transporting himself to the area with his killer. So police believe that he may have driven to the lake to meet the killer at a designated spot.
Spreckles Lake.
Jay,
doesn't that
poor
sound
Jay.
Like it was named after somebody's cocker spaniel?
Spreckles. Spreckles, yeah.
Come on, Spreckles.
It does.
Joseph Stevens, otherwise known as Jay, had been stabbed at least 8 times. He had a deep wound from his neck down to his navel.
Bam!
And some of his organs, including his lungs, had been removed.
That's not a stab. That's a slicing.
That's a gutting.
Yeah, that's a gutting.
A penciled sketch of the victim was left near Stephen's body. So clearly this murderer is fluent in all mediums of art. Next there's going to be like a clay statue or something. All right. So, like the doodler's first victim, Klaus Christmann was a German national who was in San Francisco on business. Christmann's body was discovered by a woman walking her dog on July 7th, 1974. Christmann's death had been somewhat more violent than the previous murders because he had considerably more stab wounds than Kavanaugh and Stevens. Christmann had
Stevens was cut from his throat down to his navel, so I don't know how it could be any more.
Yeah. Run him over with a steamroller? What do you do?
Of the three of us, you're the one that wrote it. You
run
should
into
know.
A coffee grinder, one little piece at a time.
Christmann had been slashed in the throat several times, and his larynx had been cut out.
Yeah.
His body was fully clothed, and unlike the previous victims, Christmann was married and had 2 children. The fact that he had a makeup tube on his person when he died suggested to police he may have been a closeted gay man and/or transvestite.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
As with the previous victims, a simple drawing of Chrisman was found near his body.
Now, this is just a public service announcement to our listeners so they can understand culture like the Colonel does.
Just
because a man likes to dress like a woman does not a gay man make, Timmy. There are a lot of straight men who do just like to
like
be
lipstick.
Pretty. They just like to be pretty for whatever reason.
And there's a lot of straight dogs
who like
to wear sweaters.
Yeah,
yeah. Nothing wrong with that, Brandy.
No,
no. But the only problem was you get a dog a Argyle sweater, Timmy. You know what he wants next?
Mm-hmm. Argyle socks,
a doggy pipe.
A doggy pipe.
Now he wants me to get
bong a beer.
Now he wants me to go out and get the newspaper, Timmy, so he can just sit in his chair with his little legs crossed and with his little pipe and read the newspaper.
Smoke his pipe. Hmm.
Chrisman,
continue, Brandy. We don't have all day.
Jesus Christ!
Keep up.
Chrisman remained unidentified briefly while police were investigating the cases, which they had believed were related after the third murder. Chrisman had worked in Hamburg in the shipping industry and was visiting San Francisco when he was murdered.
Man, they got
his remains were eventually returned to Germany, where he was buried.
They got a lot of hookers in Hamburg, Brandy. On the, I'm trying to think of the name of the Reeperbahn, is the name of the street. Look it up.
Wow.
Everyone, Google Reeperbahn right now. Lot of hookers.
You're probably saying it wrong, so nobody's going to be able to do that.
No, I'm not.
I have no confidence in your pronunciation.
It's quite the entertainment area, Brandy.
With the discovery of Chrisman's body, police determined that they were now dealing with a serial killer who was targeting gay men in the San Francisco area. The next victim was Frederick Elmer Kapman.
Friends called him Freddie.
Probably.
Freddie Elm.
Frederick Elmer Kapman was age 32 and was from Port Angeles, Washington. I don't know what I'm saying.
Colonel, maybe she'll end up with someone named Elmer.
I was thinking too. Elmer Earl, Timmy. Elmer Earl is probably who she's going
to
end
That's got a ring to it.
But you know, it'll work out good for me run in and say, Elmer, you know, could you run a diagnostic on my battery here? I'm not sure it's real. If it's about to die or not. And tell Brandy I said hi when she's making you a pot pie for dinner because you know she don't cook.
Hmm.
When you're putting your own pot pie in the microwave for dinner. Elma's going to have a bad time.
We're not done.
Pot pie.
Just going to keep going. Okay.
When's the last time you had a pot pie, Brandy?
Oh, God. 30 years?
Are you kidding me?
I don't like them.
I love me a pot pie.
They're gross.
I love me a pot pie.
I don't care. I don't care.
Can you pot pie? Mm-mm. But they're better if you put them in the oven and not the microwave.
Yeah, they're better cooked, Brandy, than to eat them uncooked.
Frederick's body was discovered on May 12th, 1975, at Ocean Beach outside of San Francisco. This was 10 months after Klaus Chrisman's murder. Kapman had been stabbed, like the other victims, dying from strikes to his aorta. It's believed his body had been moved approximately 20 feet, as disturbances in the nearby sand indicated. Blood was found smeared on the soles of Kapman's shoes, while bloodstains were also found on Kapman's face, hands, torso, and buttocks.
Oh, not his buttocks.
The killer had The killer had stabbed Cap'n numerous times in the chest.
I don't know what's worse, is stabbed in the aorta or your buttocks.
Yeah, please don't stab me in the buttocks.
Because then you can't sit down.
Exactly.
The killer had stabbed Cap'n.
Have to sleep on your stomach after that.
Numerous times in the chest, and police believe that Cap'n was dragged at least 20 feet by the killer before being murdered.
You know, Timmy, now think about this. Now, you don't eat pot pies, but those things that you put in the oven and they say make a slit in the, you know, the little plastic film, make a slit to vent.
Uh-huh.
Do you know they never give you real good
I find that, I always find that erotic.
It's a little erotic, but what bothers me is they don't really give you specs on the slit.
Right.
Should it be a...
Yeah, what is a slit? Because sometimes, Colonel, as you know, the slit can be very
big.
Slits
are very... Yeah, slits are, you know, like snowflakes. Every slit's different to me. And sometimes you can get a cavernous slit. Sometimes you can get just a little tiny slit. You never know what kind of slit you're getting into.
I mean, you never know what kind of slit you're going to get. I think that should be like our slogan for DweebCon next year, Brandy. You never know what size slit you're going to get.
So I just think they should give better specs on what kind of slit they want.
I agree with you, Colonel, because you don't want you don't want your slit too big.
No, you don't want it too small. You want it just right.
Right, just right.
Really,
perfect slit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fucking really. So, Frederick,
you seem distracted
Elmer Cap'n,
today, Devil. If you don't,
I swear to God, I wish you were closer to me.
Yeah, she's not.
I swear,
you can tell she hasn't done this for a couple weeks.
I'm gonna find you. I'm gonna hunt you down like the dog you are, and I'm gonna beat you in the head.
Well,
you seem a little sensitive when we start talking about slits, Brandy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've been crying, and I know you're under a lot of stress, and you got little children with croup and everything, but you seem a little tense today, Devil.
Yeah. Is there something wrong?
Everything okay with you? Because me and Timmy care.
Yeah. No, actually, let's stop. I'm going to stop you there.
How can Timmy and I help you, Devil?
You can
help
shut
us
the
help
fuck
you.
Up. How about that?
Brandy, you're being resistant
you are.
To help.
You are.
I'm actually not.
I'm telling you
right
exactly
now.
How to help me.
I feel like there needs to
but
be an
help
intervention
right
here, Timmy.
Oh, my God.
I agree.
Would you please send me to rehab? Please. Please
Maybe
send me to rehab.
Maybe you need another weekend in a cabin.
Don't throw me in the briar patch. Please just send me to rehab.
Maybe you and Stephanie should spend another weekend in a cabin snorting coke and whatever else you do down
well,
there.
Well, we would, but, you know, we can't find a schedule that we're going to get down there before they close it up for the winter.
Do you...
They close for the winter?
Mom and Dad shut the cabin down for the winter.
What's that entail? Just, like, locking the door?
Because you can't get back there.
What's that entail? Locking the door? What do you do?
No, they talk something about they empty, I don't know, they have to get under the house and empty out all the pipes.
Oh, yeah, they probably clean out the pipes, yeah.
Yeah, so that it doesn't free, all that kind of hoo-ha.
Speaking of cleaning out the pipes, Devil.
Oh, God.
Are you...
What?
When you get up in the morning and you get in, you're brushing your teeth or whatever you do, you're getting ready for work, do you look yourself in the eye and say, I'm really taking care of Dave's sexual needs.
Yeah, Brandy, do you ever ask
yourself
that question?
Devil?
You know what I ask myself? What poor decision?
It wasn't one decision that got you here, Devil.
Wait a minute.
It was a succession of bad decisions.
It was a series of bad turns.
What did I do that was so wrong? That I have ended up with the two of you.
Well, we figure the police
would discover now,
as
you're projecting,
as part of
Brandy,
my family.
You're projecting on us your negative, you know, your negative feelings about your life. You're projecting that on us. That's okay.
My life is good.
Me and Timmy are very happy people. We're very happy, well-adjusted men. And if you, but I
let me tell you something. Hold on. I'm going to let you continue for that, but I'm not going to participate for a minute because you two have wore me the fuck out, and I'm going to go find a Valium or a cigarette or something because I am about ready to choke this microphone.
Well,
are
you done with your part?
Of you.
Because that would be very rude of you to.
I'm not even close to be done
show.
With my part.
Talk
for a minute. Talk amongst
Speaking
yourselves. I mean, you seem to be really good at that. So talk amongst yourselves, and I'm gonna go do something that's gonna make me not absolutely lose my shit.
Well,
so,
I want to say, Brandon, this is what I want to say: is it's closed for the winter. I saw Colonel. I went to a drive-in one time and watched that movie. It was not very good. It was not very good. Not very interesting at all.
Why? I guess my question to you is, Devil, what's going on in your life that such just a wee bit of stress is just setting you off?
That's what I want to know because, you know,
is obviously. Is that a question right now? Really? Is it a question? What could be going on? I deal with a hyperactive 8-year-old that talks less than the two of you motherfuckers here. I have a drunk uncle that makes more sense than the two of you. So just let me do this and just, you know what? And you say whatever about me. I don't care. Just get on with it. And I will going to come back and I'm going to finish this motherfucking page because I only have half the fucking page left and it's taken me 2 goddamn hours to get through a page and a half. So, you know what? Talk amongst yourselves. The Mormon Tabernacle Choir is neither a tabernacle nor a choir. Discuss.
She seems upset.
She does. And I think she might have run out of coffee, or cigarettes, or bourbon this morning, Timmy.
Well, going back to your question about her satisfying Dave, I think that might be a touchy issue for her, Colonel. Maybe we were a tad bit insensitive by suggesting that.
I think we
that.
Might have hit on a nerve there, Timmy.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's probably something we shouldn't bring up, much like our economics professor.
You hit a nerve. You hit a fucking nerve, and it was the last goddamn nerve I have. I've had no sleep. I've been dealing with this child over here that's decided, you know, whatever. He doesn't feel well. So you know what?
Well,
you know
own
what?
Your behavior, Brandy. Don't blame Noah. You need to own
not
your
Noah's
behavior.
Fault. No,
I'm gonna,
just a little
I'm
going
to blame my lack of sleep, and I'm going to blame the two of you.
The two of us?
So, all we're saying is just own your behavior, Brandy.
You know, when we was at DweebCon, I was sitting there eating a piece of pizza next to, really one of the most beautiful women in podcasting, Nina. And do you know what Nina said?
Nina Instead from Already
you
Gone.
You know what she said to me? I think.
What did she say?
I hope Brandy knows how lucky she is to do a podcast with such delightful men.
Yeah, I don't think she knows that.
What I'm going to do is ask her about that later. So,
Brandy, I really think it's your anger that's talking now.
Maybe. Could be.
Yeah. I know you don't mean it. I know that in somewhere deep in your soul, you're a good person.
Somewhere.
Pretty deep. But I think you're basically a good person, Brandy. And I know you don't mean the mean things you say about me and the Colonel.
But even let us say that this, Devil, maybe.
Can I
want you to just
this?
Ponder on this, because this is important, Devil. We forgive you.
We do.
We forgive you.
We love you, Brandy.
We love you, and we forgive
you. Know what
as
that
a human.
Is, though? Okay. And that's great, but. I don't give a shit. You can forgive
me. We know that
me.
That's just.
I don't
we know
care.
That's just the dark heart of your talk. Your mm-hmm. talking, Brandy.
That's right your now. Bad side, Devil.
I want to talk.
Don't listen to that bad devil
Frederick?
On your shoulder, Devil. Listen to the angel on the other shoulder.
Can I please talk about Frederick? Because everybody's already forgotten his name.
They didn't forget about Elmer.
Continue,
can I talk
Brandy.
About
go ahead. Go ahead, Devil.
Okay.
Tell
right.
us more.
Frederick Elmer Cappen was identified through fingerprints. When those were matched by those taken by the state due to his occupation as a nurse.
We're appealing to the greater angel of your nature, Brandy.
Cappen had also served in the United States Navy, earning medals while serving in the Vietnam War.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah. As in other slayings, a cartoon caricature of Cap'n was found near the victim's body.
Gross. Okay, this is, and I don't like to get into too many personal details here, Devil, but I got to ask, just based on your temperament and your attitude since this thing, when's the last time you masturbated, Devil? Because you seem like you could use either a good massage or masturbation, one of the two. Because you know that back in the old days, the doctors used to masturbate women to treat them for hysterics. And it seems you're bordering right on hysterics here.
The fifth and last
victim. I think what he's saying, Brandy, is feel free to rub one out if you need to. I mean,
I really don't need your permission, but thank you. The fifth and last victim positively associated with the doodler was 67-year-old Harold Gulberg. Gulberg was a Swedish-American immigrant who was discovered on June 4th, 1975, in a decomposed state about 2 weeks after his death at the Lincoln Park Golf Course. The park is located just outside the city on the northwestern corner of the San Francisco Peninsula. Gulberg's death remains slightly inconsistent with the other homicides because he was far older than the others. His underwear had been taken by the killer, and his pants were unzipped. So that is something
He took his underwear
and put his pants back on.
And then redressed it. Yeah.
That's not fucking cool. Well, maybe he didn't have any underwear. How did he know he had underwear?
No,
he was 67 years old. There's a good chance he forgot to put his underwear on that day.
Well, he was Swedish, you know. They're freaks.
I mean, Timmy,
there was also
once you hit 50, you know this, Timmy. I mean, how many days a week do you wear underwear to work?
You know what? I quit. Yeah, I quit caring about how I looked about 10 years ago.
Yeah, I may or may not have underwear.
You're just going with it. So anymore, you're just going with hobo chic?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Perfect.
I'm a hobo.
There was no drawing of Gulberg.
Let me tell you something that pisses me off. Now, this is true. I'm standing, you know, I'm waiting for my bus the other day in front of where we work. And this young girl pulls up in the car, attractive young girl. And she says, "Colonel, would you like to make some money?"
Well, I think she was propositioning you, Timmy.
Well, I know. I think she wanted me to do something illegal. And I'm like, do I look like a fucking hobo? Do I need your money?
You do, though. You do. That's what's happening.
My life has been... what has happened in my life that strangers are pulling up to me, asking me if I want to earn some money doing illegal activities, Brandon?
Well, first of all, the fact that you wear... Wait a minute. First of all, it was probably 70 degrees and you were wearing six jackets. So...
I get a chill.
I know, you get
that
a chill.
That does put little bit of a homeless vibe to me when you're carrying extra jackets with you.
Yeah. Hmm. So...
I was at Kings Island one time, Jesus. Timmy, and this was kind of one of my bigger disappointments, so you'll be happy to hear this, Devil. But I was I seen these two attractive women. They was about 30 and I was about 35. And I noticed they was kind of eyeballing the Colonel, you know. And I think we can all agree that the Colonel is, you know, a ladies man.
Ladies man. So, ladies man.
So finally, they become emboldened enough to walk up, get off the bench, and walk over and approach me, Timmy. And do you know what they said to me?
What did they say?
They said, "Those are the two most beautiful boys I've ever seen in my life." I had the twins with me in a wagon that I was pulling around. And Renee got back, and I told her, I said, what has happened to me? Look at me. I used to be cool, but now I'm pulling two kids in a wagon. I got on a goddamn Buzz Lightyear backpack. Buzz Lightyear. I had a Buzz Lightyear backpack on, Timmy.
Well, I'm sure you look very dapper in that backpack.
No, I didn't, Timmy. That's what...
Nothing says come hither like a Buzz Lightyear backpack.
And water bottles strapped to your sides, Timmy.
Well, I'm sorry, Colonel. I'm sure there are still women out there who would... You know, enjoy spending an evening with you.
There's not. All right. So, There was no drawing of Goldberg found at the scene. However, like the other victims, he was active in the gay community, and his throat had been slashed in a manner that was consistent with the other victims.
Well, maybe the photo just blew away or something.
Yeah. Like Kavanaugh.
Maybe he didn't draw him.
Maybe. Like Kavanaugh and Chrisman, Goldberg was an immigrant. He was from Sweden.
Yeah, he liked foreign guys.
And he made his living on the sea as a sailor. So he had a connection to the shipping industry like Kavanaugh and Chrisman.
If he was not the real killer, they said there might be two or three killers here, and you was leaving doodlers there, you know, the little doodles, would you be a copycat or a forger, Timmy?
That's a good question. What's your thoughts on that, Brandy?
You're fucking ridiculous. The San Francisco Chronicle.
We ask all the tough questions on this podcast.
Yeah, you two are like Walter Cronkite.
We don't miss the details.
Yeah, that's you guys. Mm-hmm. The San Francisco Chronicle reported at the time that he'd been dead for approximately 2 weeks. Maggots and fly larvae occupied his face.
Ooh, that gave me a little.
Yeah. It should be noted that Gilbert was not a healthy man, and according to the pathologist's report, he suffered from portal cirrhosis. So he was a drunk, and his liver was killing him.
So he might have been. He might have died either way.
Yeah, he could.
Yeah.
He
was tattooed. Still don't want to be murdered. Yeah.
He was tattooed on both arms, and according to immigration records, between June 1930 and July 1940, he stopped in numerous harbors, including Boston, Puerto Vida, Cuba, Shanghai, Melbourne, St. Louis Obispo, Yokohama, and Liverpool. He became a naturalized citizen on August 15th, 1955.
It sounds like he was in the Navy, where he sailed the seven seas in the Navy.
But
he could do what?
Not all of the doodlers' victims died.
It was a little YMCA there, Colonel.
Okay. So not all of the doodler victims died.
Not all of them did?
There were at least three attacks. No, there were at least three attacks.
I bet all of his murder victims died.
There were at least three attacks in which the victims survived and were willing to offer police a description of their assailant.
Oh. Well, let me tell you about what happened later, Devil. 5 months
well,
after.
Well, and Brandy, try not to interrupt the Colonel during his reading,
yes,
please.
5 months after Harold Gilbert's murder, the San Francisco Police Department released a composite drawing of the suspect.
Now, Brandy, that means they kind of took the description and put it all together, composite.
Yeah, they had an artist come in and said, what's it look like? They put all the pieces together. A composite is a combination of things that they all put together. So he was known, said the police, to frequent bars and restaurants in the upper market and Castro areas. That's before Fidel went and got all crazy and took over the country down there.
Yeah, he became a gay communist and moved to San Francisco.
He did, the pink commies.
Fidel Castro district.
Police described the suspect as a black male between 19 and 22 years old, between 5'10 and 6 foot tall, basically most of the black males in San Francisco, who wore a Navy-type watch cap. Now,
so this dude would be what, like 70 now,
yeah,
right?
He's
22 and 74.
He'd have a hard time getting a good leverage on the knife. So he's all right. Mm-hmm. Now, they believed he had a quiet, serious personality, much like me, with an upper-middle-class education and above-average intelligence. Now, quite possibly, he was an art student because he could draw. He'd informed a witness he was studying commercial art as he was stabbing the shit out of him. And then police said, now, how do you have small talk with somebody you stab? Oh, goddamn it. Sit still. Sit still. Right in the heart.
I think
I'm
it might have been,
student.
Colonel. I think it might have been before he started stabbing. I think that's
okay. Now that makes sense to me.
Thank you, girl.
Police had never released the doodler's sketches as the case remains open. But they also believed he had a history of, as UPI.
He would be around 67 years old right now.
Said at the time that he had mental difficulties involving sex and he had sexual identification
problems. I'm guessing he couldn't get it up, Brandy. That's what they mean when they are. And whenever they say men are having sexual problems, Brandy, that means they couldn't get it up, or they're with someone who's not that attractive.
Yeah.
Basically,
perfect.
They can't get it up, or they're with somebody kind of well. And he said when he told each victim, at least the ones that survived, all you guys are alike. And he was saying you people, meaning gay. So in the absence of an arrest, there were rumors. Now, the late Charles Lee Morris, you know he was a badass, owner and publisher of the San Francisco Sentinel, told investigators about a Los Angeles man who encountered the doodler. He was about to go to bed with a young black man resembling the composite sketch, but changed his mind when a knife fell out of the man's coat, which is a good time to change your mind.
That'll do it. Yeah. That's
that'll
a mood
run
killer.
That'll run the
it's
moment.
It's a good time to
Brandy.
Crawl out the window yep. naked when you see that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, numerous press accounts mentioned three surviving witnesses. One was a European diplomat, who did not have apparently diplomatic immunity, Timmy, because he got stabbed. Mm.
Apparently.
Who, in May, met a suspect in an upper-market restaurant where he was having a midnight snack. Is that what you call it? Is that what they call it in that community, Timmy? Now, reported the Chronicle, the suspect asked if the diplomat had any cocaine. They went back to the diplomat's apartment.
It's a good icebreaker.
Where the suspect stabbed him six times. Now, it seems ungrateful. That's just ingratitude right there. So I don't like this guy right now because his manners are poor. Now, for his part,
well, he's a diplomat.
The diplomat denied that he had any sexual relations with the suspect.
Yeah.
Now, another surviving witness was an entertainer of some kind who, according to police, was nationally known. You think they're talking about Frank Sinatra? So,
it could have been in the 70s. It could have been Frank Sinatra. He's nationally known, Brandy.
He was nationally known.
Well,
could have been John
Wayne.
So
was Tiny Tim.
Maybe it was Anita Bryant.
It could have been.
What?
Guy hit her with a pie, she stabbed the shit out of him. So the third, described by the Sentinel as a well-known San Francisco figure. Figure being the key word. You think it was Charo Timmy? Because she had a nice figure back in the 70s.
She's a native. She's a native, well-known San Francisco figure.
Could have been Angie
figure.
Dickinson.
Charo.
She was always on
it. It could have been Angela Dickinson, Brandy, because she was in Policewoman at
and
the time.
And she had a nice figure.
Oh.
She had a well-known figure, Timmy.
Okay. Perfect.
She did?
Well, that victim left the family and wouldn't even answer a letter or a phone call.
They left the family or the city?
Both.
I'm confused.
Both.
Wow, son of a bitch.
You know, they said that when Policewoman came on that it wouldn't last because people wouldn't believe that a woman could be an effective police officer. Yeah. And guess what? Is it on anymore?
It's not. It's not. Yeah. The critics were right, Timmy.
That's my point.
It's like Rizzoli and Isles.
I'm glad you finally found one.
You ever watch Rizzoli and Isles, Timmy?
No. What is it?
It's about one's like a kind of forensics person, the other one's a detective, but they're both extreme.
You watched it because you like
Angie
Harmon.
Yeah, she got that gravelly voice. She gives me a little bit of a chub.
Does she have breasts?
Yes. Nice ones.
Jesus
I like
Christ.
Breasts.
I don't know what the show's about. Breasts. I just watched them two walk about in tight clothing, Timmy. So anyway... This well-known San Francisco figure leaves. Now, to understand the lack of cooperation, you have to remember that homosexuality was not socially acceptable. You know, I had the other day, my son Tanner asked me when I was growing up.
For fuck's sake.
No, I graduated from high school, and you noticed, Timmy, you graduated right about the same time. He asked me if I had any gay friends. Mm-hmm. And I had to tell him, I was like, some people weren't gay back then.
No, they weren't gays back then.
They were not gays back then. And of course, there was gays. It's just, it was not the environment that you came out and told people that you were gay.
No.
You were a confirmed bachelor.
Yeah, you were a confirmed bachelor, but it was really a bit of...
And you had a dog with a sweater.
You did. It was kind of a sad time because people couldn't live their lives. I mean, I actually know two friends... that were married and had children. And then they finally, had to get about with their real lives and they left the families, and went to be who they really were. But I did not know they were gay, and this was during the AIDS epidemic. I did not know they were gay. I had not the slightest clue until they got AIDS and came back.
It was just a different time.
It was a different world. People just didn't come out and, you know, say
so
it.
Some things are better, Brandy.
Yeah, we have improved to some things. Now, there are some things I think you should just keep to yourself. You know, not being gay. Being gay is not one of them, but, you know, if you're...
Like your opinion?
No, I just, like, I don't know. You know, people who are talking to you about whatever diet they're on or whatever, you know, whatever TV shows. I mean, just some things just keep to yourself. But if you're gay, I don't mind.
Yeah, we don't care if you're taking stool softeners, Brandy.
Exactly.
Just keep yourself.
Keep that to yourself. If you're on a fast, if you're on a fast, I don't give a shit. Just don't come into my office and tell me how good my food smells because you're on a 3-day fast. Those are shit things you should keep
to yourself. He's got a point, Brandy.
I would never go in his office and tell him how good his food smells.
Yeah. Well, if you like to be chained to a wall, whipped with sharp, you know, with hard things.
Keep it to yourself, Brandy. We don't care. We don't care that you got a drug problem, Brandy. Keep it
to
yourself.
Your car got repossessed. Keep it to yourself.
Well, now, first of all, you clearly do care that I have a drug problem, so please send me to rehab.
You steal money from old people. We don't care.
No.
Keep it to yourself.
Whoa.
You kick puppies. Keep it to yourself.
Last week we was going to send you to rehab, and you said no, no, no.
That's a lie. I would never say no, no, no.
Well.
I would skip.
Back to the story. In 1976, a year after Harold Gullenberg's murder, police questioned the young man who matched the doodler's description. The suspect cooperated but stopped short of confessing. Without cooperating
I didn't put this in the script, but this guy was an art student.
There you go.
And an art student, and he was being treated for a sexual dysfunction. Because you know, Colonel, back in the day, if you were, transsexual or something like that, or transvestite, that was considered a mental health issue,
right? That was in the DSM-4, Timmy.
Yeah, so people, even homosexuality was, we go back far enough. So people were being treated for that, and this guy was being treated for a... in the research, it was like a sexual problem. So I don't know what it was, but...
Well, and I feel like that should have been something that made the script.
I know.
I mean, instead of you just coming up with it...
I can come in and save it and say things that makes me look really smart.
Yeah, Timmy had some color commentary that other podcasts do not afford you.
Yeah, I can't give you the whole thing, Brandy, because if I did, then wouldn't
be
needed.
Surprise.
So
see, I got two sentences left right here, and all of a sudden I got a surprise ending. It's like I went to the massage parlor. I got a happy ending on this story. Double.
So did they arrest this guy, Colonel, or what?
They were unable to make an arrest, Timmy, because the cooperating witnesses were not cooperating. So over the past four decades, the Black Doodler's murders have faded from national attention. And so is the name. I can't believe I didn't know this one. And on February 6th,
Doodler.
San Francisco released new information on the case and provided the public with a new composite drawing of the suspect. Like the Golden State Killer.
Again, Brandy, that just means that they take all
the I know. You explained it to me earlier. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, police are hopeful that one day the Black Doodler will finally be brought to justice, Timmy.
Doodler.
I hope it's one day soon, Colonel, because the dude's he's pushing 70 now.
He is pushing 70.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Brandy, your final thoughts on the unsolved murders of the Black Doodler.
Well, I really think that they should now utilize DNA technology, and maybe they would be able to solve this crime.
You see how Colonel, she throws out big words like DNA. Yeah. without any clear understanding how the DNA process
about
works.
Ejaculate on the victims?
I didn't know ejaculate was the only source of DNA.
Well, yeah.
Well, you got your ejaculation, you got your spittle.
Spittle, yeah.
You've got your feces,
hair.
I guess.
I think you got your sweat.
You got your sweat. So there's a lot of sources of DNA. You're right there, Brandy. But
thank
Colonel,
you.
what's your final thoughts on the black doodler?
Well, I think it was clearly racist to just not call him the doodler, Timmy.
So you think it would be appropriate now for us to just call him?
Well, I think he's.
So you're concerned about his name?
Yeah, I think it does. It's just unjust
the moniker.
To call him the black doodler because. What was there 37 other doodlers that was he was in competition with? There was only one doodler.
Well, yeah, he's got a point, Brandy. You don't hear people
it's the
talking
top of his
about
head.
You don't hear people called the white angel of death. It's the angel of death, right? I mean, they don't throw out, you know, the white night stalker,
yeah.
Right?
The white Jack the Ripper,
yeah,
as opposed to the black Jack the Ripper. Although that would be a good name, yeah, Black Jack Ripper.
Well, that would be cool. Yeah. I'm going to London next month, and Leanne and I are going on a Jack the Ripper
tour.
That
would be cool, Timmy.
Well, that will be delightful.
Hmm. All right. We would like to thank all the wonderful people who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support this highbrow entertainment, then please just go to patreon.com where you can give a little. Patreon.com/historydweebs. Where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or...
Just a wee little bit, Timmy.
Okay, Colonel, let's thank some people.
Well, let's see. We got Adam McWaters, Elaine Baker, Alexandra, Ali, Alicia Mincy, the Already Gone podcast with a beautiful Nina.
With our good friend Nina Instant.
Amanda Christine.
Who is delightful, Brandy.
Amber Anderson, Amber Scoville. Anna Girl Lion. Andrea Odell. Andrew Frazier, Angela Santos, Angela Villafane, Jesus Christ, Anna Garrett, Annette Petre, Anon, Becky Trainer, Ben Dobrovich, Brandy McBride, Bridget Bernhardt, Brittany Martin. You know, I haven't seen on the page the lovely Kelly Jones. Me and
the lovely Kelly Jones.
Kelly Jones. There you go. How'd you like that one, Devil?
You have a good thing going
that was
on.
Just for you, Devil. Christy Lee and Canadian True Crime. Carol Elise, Charlie from Crime Lines. Is she still doing Rusty Hinges, Timmy?
Yes, her and Lars. Yes, and she says she's going to make it to the next WeebCon, and we might be able to get them to do Rusty Hinges at
that
the
That would
live
be
show.
Spectacular.
So that's our hope. Yeah, it would be.
Cheryl LeBlanc, Chris Lane, Christine Howell, Cindy Clark, and Diane Trowbridge. Timmy, Miss
The axe throwing couple.
Yes, and Miss Trowbridge just had a birthday. Happy birthday!
They're amazing. The axe throwing lovers.
Happy birthday, Diane.
Yes.
Yes,
you both. Birthday this week. Happy birthday,
the Comeback Dad. Podcast, Daniel Bassett, Diane Student, Erica Kenny, Aaron Grouper, Fiona Crisp, Gina Green, a Kansas City Chiefs fan who I like anyway, John Cleveland Payne, Jahara Lopes, Jamie Dent, Jason Dykes. John Cleveland Payne runs a couple podcasts. He's going to have to post on the page, let us know what he's up to. Jeff and Don Chestnut. Jeff just had a birthday this week. Happy birthday, Dr. Jeff. Jennifer.
Hey, Dr. Jeff.
Jennifer Orcutt, Jennifer Savoda, Jess Warford, Jessica Greeno, Julia Rodriguez, Karen Barnes, Kelly Shrek, Kim Stroop, Kimberly Smith, who I got to hang out with quite a bit at DweebCon. Lovely young lady. Christine Malachinsky.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Laura O'Reilly, Lydia Wassum. Fisher, Maja, Marsha Boris, Marie, Marquia Smith, Mary Courtney Sheldon, Melissa Montoya, You Killed My Father, Prepared to Die, Michelle Johns. Everybody knows what I think about Michelle.
And we missed you, Michelle. Michelle. Johns, we hope that you hope you show up next.
I missed a bunch of people.
Yeah,
Paula Kimes, Pleasing Tears. Let's see, the Context and Clarity podcast, and we will be picking that one back up in November, Timmy.
You and the lovely Karen Michelle.
Michelle, who, yeah, embarrassed the whole show.
Carries that show.
She embarrassed us bad.
Yeah, she does carry that show.
To DweebCon. But Robin Sherrard.
Yeah, that was later, though. That was much later.
Ron Montessario, Ruth Whitfield, Sarah Bloom. I love Sarah. She wasn't there either, did she?
So are you saying that Karen Michelle was drinking bit?
No, because she I missed that. That's the shame of it.
She wasn't
drinking.
That is the scary part of it.
Oh, she was sober.
Yeah, there's something wrong with the girl. Shannon Arnold, Shirley Strapp, Stacey Alsop, Stephen Potts, Terry Stratford, Malachi, The Vanish Podcast. Of course, they walk among us.
It was good, so good to see Terry Stratford.
It was. It's always good to see
Terry. Always good to see him.
Todd Long, Tommy Lane. She was there. It was great to see her, too.
Yes. First time that she attended... DweebCon came all the way from Hawaii, so we appreciate that, Tommy.
Yes.
Great to finally
the,
meet you.
Your traveling partner, Timmy, the lovely Leanne Flanagan.
The lovely Leanne. We went to Boston, had a wonderful time.
You kind of socialize,
weird.
Timmy.
Weird.
You just hop about the world together. Just explore the
world. They're globetrotters. Yes, I mean,
I will be going to see her in London next month.
Well, tell her I said
hope
hello.
I hope she doesn't let you see her place.
That's rude.
That's what I hope.
That's Is rude, it? Devil.
No, we won't be going to her place. We're going to be
It seems
London.
Par.
We're going to be in London, and hopefully we'll get to, we're hoping to get to have dinner with the lovely Rosanna Fenton and her sidekick, Ben. So that should be fun.
Yes, that will be fine. Great to see them, too.
Yes, but I have to talk to them because they want to go to an Indian restaurant.
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not for you.
Yeah, I know. I have to have a discussion with
you
them.
You know what? You can just eat.
I love them because I can't wait to see
them. Timmy. Eat the bread. You're okay, Dad. Just fill yourself up with bread.
No.
Or drink water or something. I don't think they appreciate how my
weird
taste. Well, I wasn't going to use the word weird, but I don't know if they understand that I'm a little bit different.
How delicate your system is.
I don't know how they couldn't.
Timmy, you got a delicate constitution when it comes to food.
I do.
I don't know how they couldn't understand.
Delicate. The Colonel hit it on the head, Brandy. I have a delicate constitution.
Yes.
I'm delicate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm delicate.
Yeah.
We got
delicate
let's see,
flower.
Tracy
yeah.
Smith, VB. Whitney James, Rudy the Wonder Dog, and the woman we do it for week after week after week after week. And this had a good body count in it for you, Dottie. The lovely Dottie Scott.
Yes, my mom. Hey,
thank you, Dottie.
We also want to thank Rebecca.
Oh, Rebecca LeChule.
Yeah, for helping us with the cost of the theater for DweebCon. We really appreciate it, Rebecca. And Maria has a new podcast. It's called My Hashtagless Life, which is really funny. So check it out. It's on iTunes, My Hashtagless
Life.
All right.
Well,
thank you all for joining us.
I just want to say.
Any final thoughts, you guys?
I appreciate just another wonderful script from you, Timmy. I wish the devil could have just read the damn thing and stuck to the script.
I know.
But I think
I know.
That
I
your
mean, you
prose
know.
Came through anyway.
Thank you, Colonel. Well, you know, you're only as strong as your
That's
weakest
true.
Link, Colonel.
That's true.
Yeah.
You're pretty goddamn weak there.
Brandy, you have anything else to say on your behalf?
I will see you both tomorrow, and when I do, just wait for it.
All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweez. Bye,
good
everyone.
Day.
Bye-bye.
That was a pretty good
one. Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.